Happy Wednesday, guys. I hope you're enjoying the season so far. If you want a special treat, please stay tuned after today's episode because I'm airing the trailer of an amazing podcast that launched 2 days ago by a friend of mine. It's a spinoff of Undisclosed. It's fascinating, it's charming, and I think it's going to be your next podcast. The show's called Mitchum. But in the meantime, please enjoy this ad-free episode. George Orwell said, "If you want to keep a secret, you must also hide it from yourself." Possibly the most intriguing aspect of the therapeutic relationship between Dr. Stowe and Ava Michaels was the entrance of Ruth Ivanov. When Ava bought her first home in Palm Beach, Florida, she eagerly dove into the task of decorating. She traveled to Mexico to pick out furnishings and other design elements for the hacienda-style home. She wanted to make it perfect. And one thing on the agenda was hiring a housekeeper. Dr. Stowe told her he knew a housekeeper looking for a position and put her in touch with Ruth Ivanov. Unbeknownst to Ava, Ms. Ivanov had a professional history as a psychiatric nurse. Dr. Stowe had found her through referral and asked her, in addition to her duties as a domestic helper, to monitor Ava. Ivanov reported back to Stowe regularly, mostly through informal, in-person meetings, occasionally through written reports. Her work as a spy was ostensibly to keep Dr. Stowe informed about Ava's mental health status in case he needed to adjust her treatment or meds.
Did Ava know what Ruth Ivanov was doing?
No. She knew Dr. Stowe and Ruth talked, but I think she was unaware of any official relationship.
What did Ava think of Ruth Ivanov?
She didn't like her.
Why not?
She thought she was nosy, and she always had this sour expression on her face. Ava was a bit sensitive, so she might have interpreted that sourness as judgment.
Why did she think Ruth Ivanov was nosy?
She always seemed to be lurching about when Ava was on phone calls. And one time Ava caught her reading her mail. Ruth claimed she'd only been sorting it, but Ava was pissed.
If Ava didn't like Ruth Ivanov, why did she keep her employed?
Because Dr. Stowe told her to.
I see.
Mm-hmm. It was like that.
Ruth Ivanov didn't live in the house with Ava Michaels. She stayed over frequently in the guest room. When Ava Michaels died in her home, that house was a crime scene, and everything inside was subject to investigation. In guest room B, the room most consistently inhabited by Ruth Ivanov, we uncovered a report that was unfinished and undelivered. It was a report written to Dr. Stowe from Ruth Ivanov about Ava Michaels' movements, actions, and behavior. July 24-26. I stayed at Sea Spray for 2 nights, and Ava was in town and slept in the house both nights. Social activity the 24th. She went to Italian restaurant with reporter from Life magazine. Came back inebriated at 2 a.m. Did not eat food. Went to bed approximately 2:30. Did not hear after that, so evidently slept. July 25, no social plans. Ava in kitchen eating steak and drinking champagne at 3:30 a.m. Slurring heavily. Stayed up playing albums until 5 a.m. Suspected drugs that night. Stayed in bed until 9 a.m. July 26th.
Another topic of interest at trial was a small red diary that was referenced many times by Ava's friends and acquaintances, yet never materialized. Dr. Stowe was a believer in the benefits of therapeutic journaling. He recommended to Ava that she journal as frequently as possible. There is a purchase record from Dr. Stowe to Ava of a small, leather-bound, crimson diary. This was purchased around the holidays of 2016. There are no photographs of this diary. The diary has never been located. There are references to Ava's journaling in various correspondences, but the actual journal she used was never recovered. The state would gently suggest at trial that its disappearance was suspicious. And they would state directly that having a domestic helper issue reports on a patient's movements was a grievous violation of privacy. Lionel Stowe, Dr. Stowe's son and psychiatric student.
I knew Ava to have recurrent and profound struggles with substance abuse. It's one of the reasons she needed the psychiatric intervention of my father. My father couldn't say, stop taking barbiturates, learn how to sleep through the night, just stop. That's not therapy, that's force, and it doesn't work. My father cared a great deal about both the mental and physical safety of his patient.
Why did he install Ruth Ivanov in her home?
To make sure she was safe. He worried about her overdosing. Yes, he was making progress, but progress is not linear. Ava had setbacks. My father understood her psychiatric status well enough to understand the only way to safeguard her health was with the aid of another person.
Tell me, has your father ever employed this method with another patient?
No. But this was an avant-garde treatment. This was a special case. She needed special help, and because my father was in uncharted territory here, you know, therapeutically speaking, he felt it was incumbent upon him to take every precaution necessary and make sure Ava was never putting herself at risk.
When it comes to Ruth Ivanov, some of the most controversial elements of her involvement with this case are the conflicting details she gave police about the night Ava died.
Detective, when you arrived at the Michaels home at approximately 4:45 a.m. August 5th, where was Ruth Ivanov?
She was in the utility room. She didn't come out to greet officers. I went into that room to locate her.
And what was she doing in the utility room?
She was folding clothes.
Folding clothes?
Yes. She had been doing laundry, and when I arrived, she was taking bed linens out of the dryer and folding them.
Was there any laundry besides bed linens that she was washing or folding?
No.
Okay. When you had the opportunity to speak with Ms. Ivanov about her actions that night, what did she tell you?
She told me she had woken around 12:30 a.m., sensing something was wrong. Then she walked into the hallway and noticed that the light was on in Ava's bedroom. She could see it under the door, and it was worrisome that Ava was up so late. So Ruth knocked on her door and received no response. It was at that time she called Dr. Stowe to inform him she was worried about Ava.
Okay, and she told you this story that same night, early in the hours of August 5th?
Yes.
Okay. And at some time that night, or I should say morning, did you notice that there was a problem with her narrative?
Yes. I noticed that the carpet in Miss Michaels' hallway was so thick that it was impossible to see light underneath her door. In fact, the door was slightly difficult to move over that carpet, and it left drag marks when you opened it or shut it.
What did you do when you discovered this information?
I reapproached Ruth Ivanov and told her that her story didn't make sense. That's when she communicated to me that it wasn't actually the light under the door that alerted her something was wrong. It was the telephone cord. When Ruth got out of bed, she saw there was a telephone cord under Ava's door. And that is what was unusual. And that is what made her call Dr. Stowe.
Is this a photo of that telephone cord?
Allow me to provide context. Ava's bedroom was immediately across the hall from guest room A. Guest room A housed a landline telephone. The landline was attached to the wall by a very long cord. Ava regularly spoke on the phone for hours in the evening and on through the night. She didn't like being alone, and suffering from chronic insomnia, nighttime phone calls had become commonplace for her. Sometimes Ava would bring the landline from guest room A across the hall to her own room, with the cord laying on the hall floor between the two rooms. When she would go to bed, Ava would typically replace the landline phone to guest room A across the hall and either take it off the hook or cover it with pillows so she wouldn't be disturbed while asleep. That night, Ruth Ivanov claimed seeing the telephone cord laying across the hall floor at an unusual hour alarmed her, and that alarm is what motivated her to contact Dr. Stowe.
I just can't believe that he would put Ruth in that home. I mean, again, it's such a
violation
of what a psychiatrist should be doing.
Harriet, you said a spy?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, this isn't a movie.
She reports back to the doctor when her paycheck comes from someone else.
But with psychological reports, everything she reported back to Dr. Stowe with was based off behavioral things.
She has a previous history of having, you know.
She's an unlicensed maid.
But she has history working with.
That's true.
Thank you.
And the fact that she's unregistered and unlicensed should let you guys know that someone's not going to license her because she's probably a very poor psychiatric person. So now she's demoted to a maid. Hello?
You don't need a license to be a maid, though, do you?
Exactly. But you do need a license to be a psychiatric care nurse. And clearly she didn't have one. So why is she in this position of doing that?
You don't need a license to be someone's friend or to care about them.
Here's something that's very interesting.
Wait a second. She assumes that Ava is using drugs. Well, yeah,
I think she knew.
But hold on. No, I mean, yeah. She said possible drugs. But here's
she's
the thing.
Alcohol, though.
Of course, she is on these.
Barbiturates.
Barbiturates, yes.
Explain to me, Adelaide. You make a great point, Adelaide. Why would your doctor who prescribes barbiturates, who is concerned about you overdosing, allow you to have barbiturates? If he has someone in the house to be a caregiver like Miss Ruth, wouldn't he give her the prescription so she could dole out the medication? Concerned about her overdosing?
Dr. Carroll didn't do that either. A doctor is not going to give that control to someone else.
Dr. Carroll's not on trial, remember?
Well, maybe he should be, because we have no facts to convict Dr. Stowe. Again, sticking with the facts, Dr. Stowe is not doing anything wrong except caring for Ava.
Dr. Stowe didn't want to take her completely off of barbiturates because you have to wean off of that kind of stuff.
Well, great, he should be the one to go administer those by himself. He left her with a prescription of her very own, and he administered two.
He can't be there 24/7. And
so do you think it's appropriate?
But that's what he says. He says he can be there 24/7. This is his only patient. Remember, this is his only patient. Clearly, he thinks that he can be there 24/7. So if he can be there 24/7, he's concerned about her overdosing, then why wouldn't he be there to administer her drugs?
I really want to hear what you're trying to say here, Krasinski.
I just think that, Dr. Stowe had implemented Ruth to be another set of eyes, but it doesn't mean
like a safeguard.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it was planned to do anything ulterior motives or wrong or to harm her. It was just so he can have an extra set of eyes there.
And so doctor planted Ruth there to be an extra eyes? He planted a spy.
I wouldn't use the word planted.
I would say
I would use the word spy. I would use the word
you said
help.
Planted.
But
help.
Why didn't he tell Ava then that,
it might have
that
messed
she
with her.
Was going to be...
Speak, Mikey.
No, you go ahead, Adelaide.
Going to be there to... assure him that she was safe.
Yeah, they didn't do that. They lied to her. They misled.
They never told her.
Here's the thing, though.
We don't know that if Ava knew or didn't know. So
Penelope says that she didn't know. Penelope says that she had no idea and she didn't like her.
But then
she said, "I didn't want her there." And Dr. Stowe said she had to stay there, so she stayed there.
But that's Penelope. Mm. That's Penelope Newman, and like. It's all hearsay. That's all an opinion. Nothing she said was based off of fact. If you go back and listen to what she said, it was all what she thought. It wasn't what the defense was saying.
But hold on.
So
Mikey,
the fact I'm just going off of what the facts are, Harriet.
Thank you, Mikey, for pointing out the facts.
Hey.
But
who started looking for
Mikey.
Housekeeping? It wasn't Dr. Stowe.
He offered a housekeeper.
Well, that's
as a safeguard. It's,
he knows her style.
But
had a background in psychology.
I always go to my psychiatrist when I'm looking for domestic help.
Okay, everyone.
I want to speak to his thing about it's hearsay, what Penelope said. Everything we have about Ruth is hearsay because she died of a mysterious heart attack, which a doctor would know how to induce.
That's the one thing that I don't think that we actually can consider here. I don't want us to be considered going around. I'm sorry, Mikey. I'm just going to have to be the poor woman here. Okay, that's going in a direction. I know we, of course, are bringing things in and trying to understand these character testimonies, and that you can call it hearsay, but that's what we actually are dealing with in the court, our testimonies, okay? But I don't want us to be thinking about
it's
Dr.
So frustrating.
Stowe. I know.
If we were only speaking on facts... No disrespect. I don't think Harriet or Adelaide would be heard.
What does that have to do with anything, Bill?
That has to do with everything.
Let him speak. Harriet, have never let Bill talk. Let him talk for 2 seconds.
Well, Harriet has valid points. But
she does, but she's not bringing up facts. And when you speak, Mikey, you're bringing up facts. When Rose speaks, she's bringing up facts. When Kay speaks, he's bringing up facts. There's no speculation. Adelaide's talking about the death of Ruth,
who could have been
manipulated by the doctor.
You wouldn't know a fact if it put itself on a billboard, Bill.
Oh, that was actually a billboard, Bill.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I think we need to just, like, breathe, you know, just have, like, a moment. No, just don't stare at each other like that.
All I'm saying is, if we're going off of testimonies and what is the facts, Penelope Newman only knew Ruth to a certain extent, and it's all opinion-based what she was saying. Therefore, I think it would be admissible. Everything the prosecution was saying was all, like, things that she said.
She knew Ava. No, she knew Ava better than anybody else.
She's her best friend.
And Ava's going to talk to her.
They're
She's going to share.
But they're both dead. She's gonna share. It's all hearsay now.
Penelope's not dead.
No, Ruth and Ava are both dead. We don't know if what Penelope is saying is 100%
and it's so convenient that Ruth is dead.
It's very frustrating that Ruth is dead. And I do want to say something here. I'm hearing what you guys are all, I hear what you're bringing to the table, you guys. But if we take Penelope's character testimony seriously, which is what we're asked to do and weigh its validity or not, and that's what we're also doing. So, I mean, we are indeed doing our job, but I do want to address the point of Ruth reading her mail or being like, you know, doing things which, okay, if she's
listening in on
if she's
phone calls.
If she's appointed to what, but everything is alleged, like that's our job is to deliberate and figure that out. She'll out of care, let's say he puts Ruth there, okay?
Yeah.
But then what about doing all the extra stuff? Is part of care reading the mail?
No.
What does that have to do with maybe watching?
Right. Do we know that Dr. Stowe said, oh, I want you to read the mail? Just in giving back information to me, it doesn't say, read her mail, smell her underwear.
No
all
one's bringing
things.
That up.
We don't know what her duties were. We have to know that she had above and beyond duties as her housekeeper.
Right, and I don't bring up the facts, right?
You don't bring up
I don't bring some facts.
I'm speaking,
she does.
Okay, well, the fact
her underwear
is, that
is the fact.
Ava
remember, she was naked
mad.
In the bed. She didn't have any underwear on.
Ava was mad at Penelope because Penelope woke up late. So let's look into the friendship a little deeper if you want to do that. We're speaking on facts. We don't have to go about hearsay. We don't know how close Penelope and Ava really were. I mean, at one point, she was working with her, right? She was employed and
fired.
She
stayed the night at her house.
So did Ruth. So they were best friends?
No. Ruth was employed by Dr. Stowe.
No, he was not.
Well, Ava was
paid by Ava.
Employed by Ava.
I thought Ruth was paid by Dr. Stowe.
No. Ava paid him, but she took her orders from Dr. Stowe, which is a conflict of interest. If you're paying someone to do a service and yet you report to someone else, that's a conflict of interest.
But that's
number one, that's a shadow of a doubt. Thank you.
What Ava, and I don't want to speak ill about the dead, but have some kind of respect. Say thank you for what Dr. Stowe did, because we're not going to speak on the floor.
What are you talking about?
Please let me speak.
Let him finish.
Please let me speak.
You think
she had four
she's
previous
dead.
Suicide? I can't get a word in with Harriet. No. Four previous suicide attempts. No one was put there to monitor her. But Dr. Stowe, taking it upon himself, cared so much so to put someone in the house. And it was Ava who was looking for a housekeeper. Dr. Stowe found a housekeeper who was more than capable of doing the work and looking out for her.
Which is why she wasn't licensed anymore.
Yes, but why didn't he get a
housekeeper?
Why didn't he get a licensed psychiatric nurse if he's a good psychiatrist? If he is really concerned about my patients in dire
straits, licensed psychiatrist is also a housekeeper.
My patient is also going to overdose. I'm so concerned. Why don't I get an actual registered nurse that comes in and does that care? They do have care nurses that come in and do actual light work and cooking around the house. It's called care. They do have that.
They're not licensed psychiatrists that come in and do housekeeping.
They are actual licensed nurses that come in and do some
light work. You're saying licensed
nurses. They do light work, but they don't do the housework,
right.
Which is what Ruth was mainly employed for.
But my question is, if you have a psychiatrist and you have a patient that is, you're concerned that they're overdosing, you want to care for them, wouldn't you put someone there with some medical knowledge who was licensed and able to do so, not just the housekeeper?
Definitely.
I can go down here on the boulevard by the ocean and pick up someone that sells oranges and go, come on in and do my sheets and psychiatric care.
I think that's why she was reporting back all the time with those reports, with the psychological reports. I'm like, that could be why He was having her check in all the time.
Ava was drinking champagne at 3:30 a.m., eating steak. Mikey. She was constantly up 5 a.m., and from the reports, looking like she had been drugged out.
I do find it a little suspicious. Where are we pointing the finger?
She was drugged out because her doctor gave her barbiturates.
Wait, what was that, Mikey? I'm trying to understand all of your points here, and I feel like, Mikey, I just... What were you saying?
Well, Krasinski just said it as well. I mean, I don't think this incriminates her, but I do feel kind of suspicious that the last report leading up to the death around that time was never given to Dr. Stowe. They found it at her house. I just find that a little suspicious is all.
Suspicious, but well, doesn't make an accomplice to murder.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It doesn't. Maybe, it just, maybe that it's report. It's a little suspicious.
It's a good time for a break. Okay, dinner. That's the bailiff. You know what? Let's just... I need to get out of this hot room with y'all. Okay.
Hot room, hot food. All right, let's go. Well,
hold up.
Hold on.
Did you,
there you go.
I gotta let him out.
Oh, yeah, let him out. Sorry, I'll let you guys run. You're to the fast fried food.
Fast front food.
Yeah. Run quick.
See y'all down in a second. What's up,
Harriet? Are you kidding me?
What?
What the fuck?
What?
That's not what we talked about the other day. You were totally on the side. You totally, like, didn't have my back in there. Are you kidding me?
Harriet, you know you're my girl, and I will always have your back, but this just... Look, when I first came into this, I'm not going to lie. I just wanted to convict. I love Ava, and I've kind of been suppressing that a little bit. But, like, I'm trying to look at the facts now. And, like, everything seems to be pointing towards not guilty.
Mikey, I know you want to go home, but we cannot go home just because it's easy. We have to just look at this. I mean, come on. There's no way that if you're a medical doctor and you really genuinely care about your patients, the last thing I'm going to do is give you a prescription for some barbiturates that I know 25 can knock you over the side of the cliff. If anything, if I am going to put someone to watch you, I'm going to make sure that they are giving you your medication so that you don't have control over it. But he lets her have all the pills. He puts this woman in there that, like, checks her diary and her mail. What is that? How is that normal?
Okay, Harriet, what's the real tea? What's going on here? Because when we talked at the hotel, we did talk about having each other's backs, but facts are facts. And just because Bill's on the other side doesn't mean...
It's not about Bill.
Okay, then what's going on? It's not about Bill. Then talk to me. What's going on?
It's not about Bill at all. And if you can't see what he's trying to do, he's trying to make me the villain here.
I'm not saying I agree with him.
And I just want you to
see
that.
You're my best friend here. You know that.
I know that, Mikey. That's why I was just like, what the heck is going on? I mean...
I have your back, but... If we are literally convicting someone to a life sentence, possibly death in prison, and I can't just go off of something that's not a fact.
I agree. And I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. I do want you to look at the information. I just really want us to see that, hey, there's some dynamics going on here that have nothing to do with the facts.
I totally agree.
And he's throwing it in like it's like we're not paying attention to him. And all we're trying to do is be diligent about the facts. But he wants to bring in underwear and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I do agree that was unwanted.
Like it's me. It's not me.
I know it's not you.
It just seems to me that there are a couple of us, and I'm not going to say names, Bill, but it just seems to me like he is just trying to get us all to think one way and not look individually. And that's my whole thing is, yeah. Hey, if you don't understand something, let me show this to you. But it just seems to me that he just wants to get everyone on the same page.
I do think Rose is cutting you off a lot, too, because, I mean, you seem to have a lot of stuff. Because, I mean, I'm looking at your notebook, and you have a lot of notes. I have, like, five things written down.
And all she wants to do is sit there and, like, play... Okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying it just seems to me that there seems to be some kind of groupthink, and it's not about the case. I think it's about life outside of here, if you get my drift.
Why you think, like, Krasinski and Rose are...
Oh, you saw that too?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I don't think Rose is the kind of person that would do something here.
No, but I think that Bill's the kind of person that would, like, kind of... play off of it and use it to his advantage, because if you watch over there, every time Rose tries to listen to everyone's point of view, he gives Krasinski this look, and then she looks at him, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, back to the facts. And I don't think she's even consciously doing it. I really don't. I think she's really trying her best, but I think there's something going on, and it's not about the facts. It's about a power play, and it's not right, because there's a person here.
If someone is trying to power play you, I promise you I will have your back.
I got your back, Mikey.
Thanks.
Let's go dinner.
Let's go get dinner?
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, hey. Chivalry's not dead. You even hold the door open for me.
I got your back, babe. Oh. I got your back.
It's fishy. Ava talked on the phone all the time, at all hours. Ruth Ivanoff claimed she saw this suspicious item of the phone cord at only 12:30 a.m. And that alarmed her? And she claims this only after she's caught in a lie by the police. She lied to the police on the night Ava died. She claimed she saw a light under Ava's door. She did not. What was she hiding, and for whom? And why, in God's name, would she take that moment, the moment the police arrived at her house in the fresh wake of her employer's death, to do laundry? Why was she washing bed linens?
Well, what in the world should she have been doing? Filing her nails? Twiddling her thumbs? Sometimes the most uncomfortable thing to do in a moment of crisis is... well, nothing. Maybe she had to do something to distract herself. Ruth Ivanoff is a housekeeper. She was in the house that she cleaned as her job. She probably wasn't thinking clearly. She was just on autopilot. Ladies and gentlemen, finding a person dead is traumatic. The state is casting blame and suspicion on a woman for getting confused. A light. A cord. It doesn't matter. Something was wrong, and she felt it. It's understandable that she was unable to regurgitate what happened moment to moment. The poor woman was in shock. No one can dictate how a person should act in the wake of a trauma. That's not fair. She handled herself the best she could. It's a pity she isn't alive today to speak this for herself.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So I'm have to read these instructions given by Ruth to the police, just so that we are aware of the jury instructions for us today. Okay. It says, testimony given by a witness at a prior proceeding who was unavailable at this trial has been read to you from the reporter's transcript of that proceeding. You must consider such testimony as if it had been given before you in this trial. So we need to take Ruth's statements, okay? And
okay.
And think about those.
So they aren't admissible.
They are admissible. We're going to
great. So first off, she is a liar.
Can we start with the facts before we start calling people liars?
So the facts are that the police officer said that she lied.
Yeah, let
those are the facts.
All right.
She says that she wakes up, something she feels something's weird at 12:30.
That's another fact.
And she says that the light is under the door. And it's also weird because
the carpet blocks it. And you have to pull the door over it and drag it. So there's no way that could be shown through.
True.
So that's a couple eyes.
But also, I mean, it's not suspicious for Ava to be up at 12:30.
Exactly. No, she's usually up at 3 o'clock.
That's why they're there, drinking, right? She has insomnia and they're concerned that, oh, this is strange. And that's what I think is interesting. They're there because she battles insomnia and they give her medications because she battles insomnia. So that when she's up at night, they're surprised.
Yeah,
why
weird.
Were they surprised? Because they gave her some kind of magical enema that should have not kept her up at night.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was up at 12:30 and now they had to check on it because she wasn't asleep. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. Okay. So we listed that. So we're okay. I'm kind of over here making
but
a suspicious
call. Why would
column.
Ruth lie about the lights? Why would she lie?
Well, I'm not defending Ruth. Yeah. Rest her soul. Because she's not on trial.
But don't you think that's strange that, you know, she lied to the
it's
police?
Strange, but
they
maybe
did bring up that she was flustered, too.
So. Yeah, maybe she didn't lie. Maybe she initially didn't remember. Maybe she thought when she first came to the door, she saw a light, and then she said, no, maybe it was the phone cord. You know, everything happened so fast, she could have got her facts.
That's
just
a fair point. Memory is weird, but what about the fact that she was doing laundry?
That's exactly
what
I was going to say.
Yeah, take it away.
So let's talk about the fact that she's doing bed linens.
Yeah.
And... the sheet that Ava is on
the bed, yeah, the whole it, oh,
is totally clean.
Mm-hmm.
So she's disturbing you know, a crime scene.
Well, we don't know that, but we can infer it because of the fact that when you do die and her body had been there for 3 hours.
With an enema as well.
There should be certain materials left on the sheets and in the beds.
I mean, the body expels right. certain aspects of itself.
That I will agree with.
Yeah, that
and
is
in
very...
saying that.
Wait, can you say that again?
No, I mean, I love to.
We all agreed on something for once.
Well, I love to agree with the facts, but I'm also going to state this. When we're in circumstances that are uncommon, like death of someone who we've been staying with, I want to do something that I feel comfortable doing. If I were a housekeeper, I would be doing laundry. So she's not thinking, if I touch this bed linen, I'm tampering with evidence. I don't want the police to come in and see her body post-mortem and she has feces or whatever all around the bed. That is the worst
she's
image.
Looking
that's
out
so
for
interesting,
her
Bill. And that's
when
what I
take,
said earlier.
She's a star. When you take pictures.
And they couldn't even cover her with a sheet. They just let her feces. Naked body lay there because they were so concerned about it. Thanks for proving my point again, Bill.
Not,
thank
I'm not
you.
Harriet. You twist my words so
no,
cleverly.
No. You did it right. You agreed with me.
So
thanks,
yes,
Bill.
I'm going to let Ava lay next to some poop and then be photographed, and that's going to be on the front page of the tabloid. I'm not going to do that.
But you can't cover her naked body.
Okay.
With a sheet because you respect her.
That.
Let's go have some liquor
or
and then do the bed sheets for the other parts of the house.
Body with a sheet, and then they were like, "We can't do this. We need to wash this linen."
Since we're talking about cleaning up, though,
or maybe not.
What about that journal? I mean, they had 3 hours to clean up. So she's doing laundry,
and that's the one thing that's missing. That's the one thing that's missing.
They can't find that.
Yeah. That's the one thing that's missing in the whole house. All the other journals are there. All the dirty sheets and the clean ones are there, but that little red book. Is missing.
At least some of the other journals.
I don't know what color it is, but I mean.
Yeah, some of the journals.
There was no record of the journal ever being in the house before that day. She could have went out the day before, lost the journal. She could have went out 2 days, 3 days before, lost the journal.
We're not even in the transcript.
We're just
making up stuff now.
This is a fact. We can't find the journal.
It's not a fact that she could have gone out the day before and
which
lost
she
her
did.
Journal.
She was drinking until 3:30 and then stayed up to 5. She comes and goes as she pleases. No one says that she only uses the journal.
Those
when
aren't
she's
the
in
facts,
the
Bill. Those aren't the facts.
Those are the facts.
Those are not the facts. Okay. No one talked about the journal. Her walking on the beach with the journal.
Wait, that's you, true.
I never
we
said
don't
walking.
Have any.
Well, we never
beach.
Even saw her. Walk
we never
on
even
the
saw
beach,
that.
Yeah.
So
we
that's
don't
not
have
the facts, Bill.
So to argue about it's a moot point, you guys. We don't have the journal.
Exactly. She had the journal,
but we do get to discuss what's happening in terms of cleaning up between the hours. Mm-hmm. That's what we were discussing in terms of the sheets. And it's just a huge piece. It was a therapy journal that Dr. Stowe encouraged her to write in and to discuss whatever she wanted, to write for herself and just go through those personal details. And that's missing, as are the dirty sheets are missing. Yeah. And it's just like, that is something that I'm noting here on my notebook, on my journal. At this moment,
here's
we don't
the
have
problem
it.
Is oh that God, we are missing so much information.
So much.
I don't know. You know, I watch British mystery movies, and I don't see
they have
them
more
messing.
Information.
Yes, I don't see them messing up like this.
I kind of wish like a Hollywood writer wrote this.
We've got a toxicology report that wasn't done. We've got, you know, nobody
well, thoroughly
bothered to
done.
Look
thoroughly
at the
done,
phone
yeah.
calls.
It was done.
No one followed a procedure about calling the ambulance or the police. They decided to have drinks of scotch and do laundry.
Well, that's the people themselves. That's not the actual duties of the detectives.
But he's a physician of the court,
and
he should be following protocol. I know that doctors have protocol for these kinds of things, and he didn't follow it. Why? Not once in his testimony did he say, hey, I decided to not follow protocol because this happened or this.
Are you talking about Dr. Carroll's testimony?
Dr. Stowe never said, hey, I decided not to follow protocol because of this, this, and this. He just didn't follow protocol.
Well, given that this is a new study, who's to say if he's following protocol and his own?
Okay, we're
have a protocol for
Ruth's
death, Bill. When someone's dead, there's a protocol.
The
protocol is not to go do the laundry and have some scotch.
We will talk
maybe
about.
Like I said, I was talking
about
my
malpractice. Okay, I'm putting jury for a woman.
Let Rose
in here.
Talk,
okay, we're supposed to be dealing with Ruth's testimony. Are her statements to the police.
Okay, so can I just...
Yeah, go ahead.
...sum up the facts that we have here, since Bill doesn't think that I deal in facts?
Oh, he's doing... He's agreeing with the facts.
I'd like... No, well, most of the time.
Go for it, Adelaide.
Tell us the facts, Adelaide.
I haven't heard Bill speak this entire... Go ahead, though.
So,
third person,
so here are facts that I see. Facts are that she had a little red diary that is missing now. Facts are... that Ruth wrote a whole report on her detailing how late she was up and all of that, including that she was up at like 3 o'clock in the morning drinking and
5 in the morning.
Yes. Yeah. And yet felt like 12:30 was rather alarming. Facts are that
the sheets were clean.
The sheets were clean, yes. Facts are...
What are the facts, Adelaide?
That...
Please, I...
Oh, come, let's take it seriously. I like that.
I ate too much coffee. No, today,
I just...
Man.
I like that we're listing things. This is very comforting that we can all just kind of like look at it. So keep going.
Facts are that she was washing and drying bed sheets at 4:45 in the morning, which, by the way, was about the time that it would take to wash and dry them.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
keep going. You're on a roll. Keep listing.
Okay.
I'm listening.
And any other facts?
Facts are that they claimed that they were drinking instead of calling the police.
In mourning. They say that it was about, they were just lamenting and mourning.
Here's a fact from Webster. Accused of, but not proven or convicted. That's the definition of alleged.
The word is definition.
Okay, thanks. Let's not get petty.
The word is be careful, Harriet.
Okay,
all right?
Okay.
I want to get my words out.
Bring it.
All right?
I just wanted like, Bill to know that I agree with
every fact that you said, but you have nothing behind those facts that would cause us to castrate a man. And theoretically, you all are hanging Dr. Stowe. We're talking about Ruth Ivanoff. Nobody's speaking to her character.
Facts are that
Who was hired by Ava, rest her soul, not Dr. Stowe.
Facts are that Dr. Stowe recommended Ruth. And facts are that she died allegedly.
She's dead for real.
The heart attack thing isn't involved in proving whether he was a killer or not. That's a separate thing completely.
But so can we at least say that the things are suspicious? Yeah. There are a list of suspicious.
I can agree on that.
But let that be spoken to Ruth Ivanoff's character and not Dr. Stowe's.
The fact that she allegedly died of a heart attack because she works for him.
Then we will never get out of here. She worked for Ava.
She worked for him. She didn't have reports for Ava. Hey, Ava, you had breakfast and you listened to records at 3 o'clock in the morning, Ava. Hey, Ava, you talked on the phone at 4 o'clock. No, she's giving those records to Dr. Stowe. She works for Dr. Stowe. No, she's getting paid
she's
by Ava.
Employed but by she's employed by Ava, only but she's fact. Reporting to Dr. Stowe.
So
that
we shouldn't say
fact.
Worked for. We'll keep the words correct. Right.
Spy.
And nobody, right.
The only,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Bill. No one is going to want to hear the ills about themselves. If I were to write everything down that you did to piss me or someone else off, Harriet, the list would be so long.
Hey, Bill, why is your maid writing that stuff up for you? I don't understand that. Why is your maid telling you what you did and what you didn't do? It's your maid, baby. Do you not know what maids do?
I think we can all agree that, you know, the behavior is suspicious of Ruth Ivanoff. We can all agree on that. Agreed. Having said that, that's the only thing we can agree on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Anyways.
Speaking of spies, do you think we can request a spy movie? James Bond?
Okay, all right. Cloning? I know it seems that we need a break. Mikey is just at the edge of things. All right, but so we agree that Ruth is suspicious. Bill has made his point heard. It appears that he's got some agreement from maybe from
yeah.
From
we all
Krasinski
agree that
here.
Ruth is suspicious.
But we're not gonna dive too deeply in the journal. I am a little. Maybe we'll think about that later. But we have a list of suspicious activities going on for that late night. Yeah. So let's just take a little break. Okay?
There's a whole lot of suspicious.
Who's your favorite Bond?
All right, let's break. take the break. We'll do that conversation outside.
James Bond?
No, we're serious.
Do you see what I'm talking about? He doesn't even know. Like he doesn't even get it. Yes,
no. What does that mean? It's only
okay. No, I'm gonna go use the restroom.
James Bond is his favorite Bond. Oh my.
I meant like
deep thinker,
you know, like Sean Connery.
Sometimes I feel like I'm hurting cats. Do you guys just like? I just want you to just.
Next time on Deliberations.
Her thirst for the company of her analyst is unquenchable.
Was your mother upset?
Yeah.
Either way, it's murder. More.
Hi. Hi again. My friend Rob Gokey has produced a podcast about Gary Mitchum Reeves, a popular subject on Undisclosed. Apparently, after he appeared on Undisclosed, a lot of people wrote in requesting more stories from him, which I totally understand. And now they're here. The show's about Mitchum and his time bootlegging in Georgia in the 1960s. You know I love the 1960s. I love Georgia. And I love booze. It launched this Monday and is available on all the places. I love it, and I love you guys, so I'm putting you together. I'm playing out on this trailer, so until next time, enjoy.
We were driving a U-Haul truck loaded with moonshine liquor. Had been driving all night through a blizzard. Destination Detroit, Michigan. We arrive in Detroit, and a car greets us loaded with guys with guns. I'm getting ahead of myself. My name is Gary Mitchum Reeves. My story was on Undisclosed Podcast. These are the stories of my life. From the time as a small lad sitting by the fireplace with my grandfather listening to his tales, to running moonshine on the backcountry roads of North Georgia, being wrongfully convicted of a murder. These are stories of family, love, of loss, of growing up too fast. Welcome to Mitchum.
Coming this September, follow Mitchum Pod on social media for the latest.